Said to be rooted in Tibetan Buddhist tradition, the concept of tulpas has traveled across cultures and time, capturing the imagination of spiritual practitioners, occultists, kids who don't want to take responsibility for breaking the window, and the general public alike. As entities created purely from thought and intention, tulpas challenge our understanding of reality, consciousness, gullibility, and the limits of human potential. Could they be a real thing, harnessed by the truly enlightened? Or just hearsay and legend, a common scapegoat or excuse when other excuses have been exhausted? Or are they a truly spiritual experience that has stood the test of time? We tackle the incorporeal this week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Well, you silly fools are not crazy! Not crazy!
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth! Truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive!
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a winning episode of Hysteria 51.
Yeah, no. The only way to win is not to play. This episode. Or this podcast. Ever.
Calm down, Joshua. Whopper, you are not. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension with connection in parts unknown, Colorado. This is Hysteria 51. I'm David Flora. Hey, and he is a slightly less squeaky Brent Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Flora. And yes, my voice is coming back, but we shall see how it sounds by the end. But that's enough about us, as it's already getting a little high there. Hey, how are you? That's enough about us, and nothing about the robots is more than enough.
Fuck you.
But we are celebrating a winner, like David mentioned this week.
That's right, Brent, coming all the way from Gainesville, Florida. It's our contest winner and Tulpa's queen, Lauren. Lauren, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the menagerie, whatever you want to call it. Thank you so much for participating. Like David said before we started, doing your civic duties.
Of course. No, I'm excited to get a chance to be part of everything.
Well, that's excellent. We'll talk to you about tulpas and why a little bit later. But how'd you find Hysteria 51? When did you start listening, kind of thing?
It's been years. I don't even know how I stumbled across it, honestly, but I started probably like 2 years after you guys had started the podcast and then just binge listened to the backlog while putzing around the house doing chores and stuff. And then it slowly just became my every week listen to the new episode podcast. And now it's my regular listen anymore.
Well, that's number one, amazing. And number two, putzing is one of my favorite things to do in the world. So you got a soft spot in my heart for that. You know,
it's not always useful time spent, but you know,
any time spent putzing is useful in my world.
Brent and I are top tier putzes.
Oh, perfect, perfect. We all get along famously then.
If it hadn't been for my bad hammy, I would have went pro.
if it hadn't been for taking this arrow to the knee, I would have been putz
pro. What's your favorite? You don't have to tell me your favorite episode, but what's your favorite? This is tulpas. Is this like your kind of favorite topic, or what's your favorite thing that we cover? Or anything in the world of the weird, I guess.
Yeah, I love, like, I have a soft spot for, you know, aliens, Bigfoots, all that. But my favorite episode is hands down the Flat Earth Roundtable, just because of the chaos that it was. So I live for a little bit of drama like that. So that was great.
Jesus, even I feel bad for you.
Yeah, no shit.
But nope, that was probably my favorite episode. But I definitely have just kind of a love for any of the wacky, the paranormal, any of that.
It's interesting you say that one, because it's so many people say that, and so many other people say, I can't listen to it. So it's a very, yeah, very stark difference between the two types. It's cringy to me listening to it for some reason. Because I don't know if I believe that they're actually believing those things or if they're just putting on a ruse. I don't know. I want to think it's a ruse, but sadly, I don't think it is.
It feels very reality TV for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. you know, when's it finally going to be like, no, sorry, you know, anyway. It is. What did you ever do a flat earth on blurry photos at all, David?
Oh, I sure did, Brent.
Yes. You're like,
I kind of, well, we didn't have a round table. We didn't talk to any believers. I kind of set up a straw man and went to town on him though myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something that's just too dumb for me to believe that people believe, but here we are.
Famous last words.
Like the state of the world at this point.
Thank you.
Yes. Right. Right. Well, a little bit different this week. But something, well, at least we have a reason we can't see it because it's made up. We're talking tulpas. What the hell are tulpas?
They are delicious. I like al pastor with extra cilantro.
Nice to know he can be insensitive in multiple cultures.
Whatever. More for me then.
David, let's stop the Mexican cuisine hour here. What are tulpas? Give us some 411 elevator pitch action.
Sure. The word tulpa comes from the Tibetan term sprolpa.
Thanks. Clear as mud.
Which translates to emanation or manifestation. And manifestations are something we've talked a lot about on here, but these things are definitely unique.
Mm-hmm.
They were originally conceived within Tibetan Buddhism as advanced spiritual practices, wherein a practitioner would create a thought form entity, typically a deity or a bodhisattva, to serve as a meditation aid or guide on the path to enlightenment.
Or if they were feeling horny.
No!
Jesus! You know, you say no. Anyway.
I just don't want to hear his thoughts on tulpas and hoardiness, but you know.
I don't want to hear his thoughts, and more importantly, on topic here, I don't want to see his thoughts on
tulpas. But it sounds like you've got an opinion on that, so as you were, sir, go ahead.
The concept of tulpas gained prominence in the West in the early 20th century, largely due to the work of French explorer and spiritualist Alexandra David Nail. In her book, Magic and Mystery in Tibet, she described her personal experience in creating a tulpa and claimed that it eventually took on a life of its own, independent of her control.
Kids, man, now, they always just want to leave you. You know, you spend all that time, and then they go out into the world. Or tulpas, whatever.
Usually people think that's a good thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. How'd she do this though? Like, what? How do you om this in existence or whatever?
I'm gonna tell you here. She said that through intense focus and meditation, she was able to quote unquote manifest a jolly monk out of my own mind.
Mm.
So thinking of jolly monks, Brent.
I think
in
she
your
said it was similar to Friar Tuck, right? That was how it was always described.
Yeah, which I love, and I wonder which version. I'm guessing the one from Prince of Thieves, right? It has to be that one.
Yeah, not anything to do with Mel Brooks or anything. You know,
he's also a Moyle.
Yeah.
Brent, I want you in your best French explorer spiritualist voice to tell us what she wrote here.
Okay. Now it's a female, so give me a second here.
Yes.
Ho, ho, ho. Once a tulpa is endowed with enough vitality, to be capable of playing the part of a real being, it tends to free itself from its maker's control.
Excellent.
You're
I
welcome.
Felt like I was with her.
Didn't you just feel? It was almost like you're at the, oh, you know, looking at art.
So this account fueled the Western fascination with tulpas, leading to their incorporation into various occult and esoteric traditions.
Don't you just hate when you create something and it takes on a mind of its own?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's a rabbit hole we don't need to go down.
No shit. We probably need a palate cleanser here from that. Lauren, what was it about tulpas that caught your attention or made you, you know, suggest that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a little bit of a roundabout story, but back when I was younger and I would stay home sick from school, did you guys ever watch Montel Williams?
Like
the talk show?
Sure.
Yeah.
So he used to have this psychic Sylvia Brown on.
Yes, I remember
very
Sylvia.
Discredited. but she wrote a book, and that was kind of what got me into a lot of this. And it was something about secrets of the world or something, but Tulpas was in there. And that was something that was always just so interesting to me, that you could just create something out of nothing. And then, you know, over the years, people have said maybe Bigfoot or things like that have become Tulpas. And it's just such an interesting link, I feel like, between things.
A missing link, if you will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she like end up saying someone was dead and they ended up being found? Was that her or was it someone else?
I think
else?
A couple times that.
Yeah, happened. Right.
There was some money fraud conviction stuff. I don't know that it was a great history for her, but that's what got me started anyway.
Well, right. And I really like that idea of Bigfoot could be a Tulpa, because they've talked about maybe like interdimensional beings. Even on our Discord this week, someone was talking about like, what if there's cryptid ghosts, you know? And like, what if that's why they're so intangible, is Bigfoot are ghosts or they're haunting or something like that. I'm like, well, then what about the footprints? They're all fake, you know? So I don't know, but that's a really interesting thought process of, you know, what if literally these things were, you know, wished into existence and then took on a mind of their own, and they're out there stomping around, and that's why we can't get them. Oh.
Yeah.
And do you guys consider them to have physical form, or are they kind of an ethereal ghost-like thing that just has a mind of its own?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to, because I was looking at these, and we'll talk about these Tulpamancers, and you know, some of them, it's like a imaginary friend, and some of them feel like they say that they can create tangible things, mm-hmm, depending on who you talk to. So it might be a potpourri.
I think that initial one, that Friar Tuck one, was seen by other people, if I remember, mm-hmm, right.
Yeah, it was like it was its own being, its own entity. Yeah, kind of crazy. Let's go to break real quick. When we come back, hopefully less C-Bot and a little more ghostly Bigfoot Tulpa talk. That's up next on Montel Williams.
Welcome to Tulpa Talk.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm, it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Let's talk, well, maybe less me because that's already squeaking. David, huh? Let's talk a more contemporary culture and tulpas. Tell us about how they're fitting in, a little less in the way back when and more of more contemporary.
The way back now.
Yeah.
In recent years, tulpas have experienced a resurgence in popularity, particularly within online communities.
You're big surprise, right? They're, no matter what you're into, there is a subreddit for it. Probably like Bigfoot, tulpa has a subreddit, I would assume. So if not, there's going to be. I'm going to tell you right now.
This is, yeah. I don't know how much sex is involved with these, but this could be maybe a rule 35.
Right. Well, Lauren, are you on like Reddit or 4chan or any of those?
No, just when I like Google something and end up there for an answer for something.
And then you're like, especially on 4chan. I have a hard time following 4chan. It's put together so weird. Yeah. You know, it's hard to follow a thread on there for me, but you know, whatever. That's probably,
I don't even know how to do it on Reddit, to be honest. I can't even figure that out.
I have to assume that the emergence of podcasting and weirdos like us have contributed to this resurgence in popularity as well.
I'm sure. I'm sure. You know,
go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, every time that we do a topic, I'll go and, you know, you start looking and just Googling it, so many other shows, stuff comes up, episode, blah, 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 you know, of these. Yeah. I'm like, wow, there's nothing that someone hasn't touched on already. Yeah.
Sure. Which is kind of ironic for tulpas. Mm-hmm. So these communities, commonly referred to as tulpamancers, you know, which I think Brent can get behind because anything that ends in mancer.
That's, I give it a pass. I just like that. Like, what are you? I'm a sandwich mancer. I conjure them up and then destroy them. Like, whatever. I just like that. I like necromancer, like tulpamancer. I just like that ending.
Yeah, a tulpamancer, like, that's not the name of the community. That would be a person who creates tulpas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Anyways, these cats approach tulpas as companions or alter egos, often with distinct personalities, appearances, and even memories separate from the host.
It sounds like they're haunted almost, you know, except for it's not a, you know, you're wrong if you think that, because they're saying, no, I'm not haunted. These things I made up. They invest significant time and effort into development of their tulpa. Uh-huh. Employing techniques like visualization, narration, meditation, to strengthen and refine their creation.
Cetacean transformation.
Yeah. In other Asians and Chuns.
Mancers and Asians. Can't get enough. What do you guys think? What's the excuse here? If you just create something for the first time ever, how does it have memories?
That's where it loses me too, is I don't know how you can have different memories at that point.
Right?
Yeah, how is something that you created then telling you a story about something they did that you didn't automatically think of or tell them? So
I've got 30 fresh memories, one for each second of my existence.
Right, like, is there like just the universe has this to pull from? You know, like, where is...
Oh, to pull. Maybe we're saying it wrong. You just cracked it.
Damn, you're right. I don't know. Like, that really doesn't make any sense to me. You're right. I never thought about that either. Like, where does this... Who makes these rules? Let's say I die today and I get picked to go hunt. Why do I got to be like, why am I missed somewhere? Like, I can't I be like, hey, what's up? You know, like where, you know, and is that a job? Do you have jobs in the afterlife? Or maybe some of them have to pretend to be Tulpa? I don't know, man.
Did you guys ever watch Dead Like Me?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
I love that show.
Yeah.
A girl dies and then she becomes
Grim Reaper. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's this whole hierarchy and rules to follow and all this stuff. It's pretty
and fun. They're like, they have to meet with their boss, you know, and
right back into corporate world.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
No, well, you gotta be shitting me. Nine to five in the afterlife. Yeah. It's a good
show,
though.
Well, I'll tell you, there's an important distinction between, I guess that and this ghosts and this, in particular, some tulpamancers view their tulpas as spiritual entities.
But does that mean they're manifesting a spirit that was already there, or they're manifesting something on their own? I guess is my big issue. I know.
People think of them as psychological constructs or coping mechanisms for various life challenges. But you could also say that it is. What was that? The name of that one critter from the spiritual enlightenment lady that was
the one that's supposed to talk to us.
Yeah
man, I don't know, because he never answers.
Eric, I don't know, I can't remember.
I don't know.
Ashtar.
I told you to keep your chakras open, but you keep just denying it, so I blame you.
It takes too much energy. I'm too lazy to keep a chakra open.
Yeah, right,
in this economy.
You spend all your time piddling around, so you don't have time.
Putzen, you fool.
Putzen. Man, I always get in trouble. Are you putzen? No, I'm piddling. Well, I told you to putz.
Always putz.
Why piddle when you can putz?
ABP, always be putzen. Come on. What do you guys think? Where do you lean on the what they are scale? Is it more psychological constructs? Is it more ghostly? What do you think?
It's hard too, because then I wonder, are they tied to a person or a place? Or if they're their own being, are they not tied to anything? Because then it wouldn't be so ghosty to me. It would be more independent entity, yeah. I guess I would say.
Yeah, sure. I think the idea of a ghost, as soon as you say it's like a spiritual entity, I guess if you create it and it's supposed to be a ghost, well, then there it is. But otherwise, if it's not, then did you really create it? So, that's where I'm like splitting hairs on this. Like, what's the, did you really create it if it was already there?
Yeah.
How do the rules for this work?
Right? I'm so in the weeds with tulpas.
How much is the handbook?
Yeah, right.
That's what you need to look for.
I don't know, because, and then like you said, like psychological manifestations or constructs, well, that can be, if it's only in your mind, well, then it's as real as whatever that is to you, but it could be a hallucination or a coping mechanism.
Is it a hallucination then? And where is that distinction?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the cause? Know. That would have to have some kind of basis.
Right.
Whether, like, the easy path there is drugs, but a lot of people don't do that.
I don't know, man. You got to quit piddle farting and putzing and go out and get those drugs. And I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work.
Sounds like you're high on piddle farting.
Well, I'm out of drugs, so. Yeah,
no
I don't
matter
know
what side of that aisle you're on. The internet has provided a platform for tulpamancers to share experiences, techniques, and advice on creating and maintaining tulpas, and it has fostered the growth of a supportive and diverse subculture.
I love that in, no matter what you're into, there's someone out there for you, you know, kind of full sure. stop on that.
Also, I have a site where I sell tulpa feed pics. For just $39.95 a month, you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, dude, no.
Shut up. Just that's.
You bitch when I don't contribute money. Ugh. Now you bitch about how I make the money. Pick a lane.
Jesus. David, number one, I kind of want to sign up for that now. I'm not going to lie to you. But number two.
Only thoughts.
Only. How do you spell that? Give us some explanations, if you will, for tulpas. Like, that is pretend they're not real for just a minute, because we all know they're real. You know, we're just pretending.
How dare you?
We're pretending like we don't understand it, because we're all advanced tulpamanthers of the nth degree.
That's why we know how to say tulpamancer.
What else is out there, sir?
Sure. Well, let's see. Not telling any tales of school here, but the nature and existence of tulpas, I mean, as we have said, it remains hotly debated. So we have several explanations out there to rationalize their existence. Number one, psychological constructs.
That one's interesting to me. I think, you know, go ahead. Sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's it is. We just mentioned it, but critics of the tulpa phenomenon often argue that tulpas are nothing more than elaborate imaginary friends or personified aspects of the creator's subconscious mind. A little thought avatar, I guess. This explanation posits that tulpas are the result of the brain's capacity to create and project complex mental constructs, often to fulfill emotional or psychological needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carl Jung once described a sort of internal dialogue for himself that he experienced with a figure called Philemon. He called him Philemon. Saying, quote, Philemon and other figures of my fantasies brought home to me the crucial insight that there are things in the psyche which I do not produce, but which produce themselves and have their own life. Philemon represented a force which was not myself. In my fantasies, I held conversations with him, and he said things which I had not consciously thought, for I observed clearly that it was he who spoke, not I, end quote.
That's interesting, but just because you hadn't consciously thought it doesn't mean your subconscious isn't filling in the blanks to me. But he was a psychiatrist, so I guess he already knew that. But I don't know. That feels like a weak argument.
Yeah, could be. Psychologists have argued whether or not he was describing voice hearing, which is, you know, a phenomenon, multiple personality, or just his imagination. But many proponents of tulpamancy have used this as an example of a tulpa. I don't know if he would consider it that, but it's something that he thinks is separate from him.
Did you guys have imaginary friends as kids?
No. I never did.
I didn't either.
I wanted to, but never happened.
I mean, I had like stuffed animals that, you know, I spoke for, and
yeah,
acted
that's like
they
playing,
were.
Yeah, just like that, like G.I. Joe. I'm like, oh, you act out battles and toys and things like that. But I didn't have like make sure you set a, you know, play at the table for Stabby, my buddy. Right. You know, and my parents were like, we need to go to a doctor. But I think that's like. What's the difference between an imaginary friend and a tulpa? It depends. And some, but then again, I think a lot of kids have imaginary friends, you find out, because that is fulfilling something that's lacking in their life, whether it is friendship or it's
social.
Helping them get over an emotional scar or a trauma.
Or just something, somebody to play with. Some,
right. You know, because they don't have friends, you know? I don't know. I don't know.
Something interesting that I found in Psychology Today, you know, the light breakfast reading, I assume everyone does.
I celebrate the entire back catalog myself. I know Lauren does as well.
Well, clearly.
A whole wall dedicated to
not a day that goes by that I don't send a quote from Psychology Today to David, and he's like, He's like, you beat me to it.
All my Instagram picture captions come from there.
Right? And I just, every time he posts it, I just put indubitably.
Hashtag Daily Tulpa. this article I was reading, it had a couple studies from 2015, 2017, and these were saying there was an apparent correlation in non-psychotic mental illnesses. So it specifically listed anxiety disorders, autistic spectrum, and ADHD seem to be overrepresented among self-proclaimed tulpamancers. But it also seems that these supposed tulpas have a positive effect on the mental health of these individuals.
Well, that's interesting because I was just saying, like with imaginary friends, a lot of times it's filling in something that's missing. So yeah.
That's a population that I work with in healthcare. And social skills are something that's so challenging for a lot of those kids. Mm-hmm. That actually makes a lot of sense to me from a filling in a gap standpoint.
Interesting.
People that are on, different parts of the spectrum have problems a lot of times communicating with people, but they can communicate with animals and things.
Yeah.
Maybe these tulpas or these imaginary friends, whatever you want to call them, are their outlet also. You know, the same difference of
a more controlled situation
or positive for
them. It's like which practice, would be more comfortable for them. And
It makes sense, or it's all real and, we're just they're in tune with something that we don't understand,
which it's always is that.
Also terrifying, which brings us to the next one. Spiritual entities, David.
Believers in the spiritual nature of tulpas maintain that these thought forms are genuine non-physical entities. Well, that answers my earlier question. Mm-hmm. Created through focused intention and energy. This explanation is rooted in various esoteric traditions and suggests that tulpas are a testament to the power of the human mind and its ability to manifest reality.
So that's an interesting, but it also goes back to, I forget who asked earlier, but if you're creating something, how does it have its own memories and life experiences and things like that? Where does that draw from?
The demon realm.
Maybe, but then again, that then isn't really a tulpa, right? Because then that's stemming from something else. That's you're manifesting something and they are filling in the blanks for it as a way to insert whatever demonic passion they have. I don't know.
It's a shell. Yeah.
Right. I'm so in the weeds. I keep saying that, but I'm with this whole, where does that background come from? Unless,
For me, it's where's that distinction between hallucination then or thought versus not.
Mm-hmm.
Where I get stuck too.
Well, and it's also maybe they're just blank slates that are really good at improv, and they're just give me a place, Leningrad. I was born there, and blah 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 blah.
Yes, and right.
Yes, yes, and exactly.
I heard a story once of someone who was. This is more contemporary. This was probably in the last decade or two, but I think is where this came from. But someone was saying, I knew someone who manifested the thought form of a wolf in her bedroom. And it was more like stemming from some kind of spirit guardian root than anything. And then, the wolf, she didn't have control of it or something. And it went to attack her, and she quickly dismissed it with her mind or something. Like it was a weird thing where
that's some Harry Potter bullshit. What was that when they made their own
Patronum? More like a patronum.
Yeah, I'm a patronomancer, so that's why I couldn't think of that word.
But that goes back to what is this rooted in, really? Is it, are these things supposed to be protectors? Are they guides in some of this Tibetan Buddhist lore, right? Mm-hmm. They're supposed to help on the path to enlightenment.
But therein lies the rub, because you're creating whatever you're creating. If you create something that's malevolent. It's malevolent. If it's benevolent, it's benevolent, right?
Well, and the first Friar Tuck one got sinister, and she had to.
Mm-hmm. Because you're creating something that has its own whatever. So yeah. It can go either way. And when you're creating a wolf, if you're actually creating a real wolf, then it's going to behave like a wolf, not like a puppy. So that makes sense that she didn't create it. And it's like, hey, you want to play some Nintendo, or whatever it was. Because in her psyche,
if she was. Friar Tuck got into her hentai, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Just went crazy with it. And then he had tentacles out of his arm sleeves.
Like. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then this is kind of getting into the next part, neurological phenomenon, right?
Yeah. Some researchers propose that tulpas may be the result of specific neurological processes, such as an advanced form of self-induced hallucination, Lauren, or the activation of neural networks associated with separate identities. This explanation seeks to bridge the gap between the spiritual and psychological perspectives, grounding tulpas in the realm of brain function.
So it's just like you're like clicking on this thing where you have an imaginary friend. That's kind of what they're saying, right?
It's headed towards personality, multiple personality disorder, maybe even schizophrenia, right?
Yeah, it's like you have another personality living inside of you that has their own. But then again, think about that. We're saying, where does these backgrounds come from? When people have split personalities, they a lot of times have their own, I'm a little girl from insert wherever, and they have their own background. Where's that come from? Now, I know it's your subconscious, but then I just answered that. It's because it's in your own brain. Never mind.
Lauren, do you have any thoughts on that one? Since
your wheelhouse a little bit here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of like mental health stuff. So when it comes to all that,
neither do we.
Very much out of my realm of anything, but I don't know. I feel like if you go the route of it's not a physical thing, this is what I lean more towards, is where's the distinction this way versus if it's something physical, then obviously this set of hallucinations and stuff might not be the right root cause of things. I don't know. It's I feel like there's just so many options of what it could be and what it could look like that it's hard to even pinpoint a starting point.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a lot of them of the options there could be at least under the umbrella of psychology, whether it be, something psychological that you manifest or something that you can't help, maybe through an illness like schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder, dissociative identity disorder too, for that matter. Brent, do you think, I'll ask this of both of you because I'm not clear on it. Maybe one of you guys are, but when you have something like schizophrenia or multiple personalities, things like that, are the hallucinations, can they show up as not only auditory but physical hallucinations? You see things as well?
I think visual hallucinations are part of some mental health diagnoses for sure.
I mean, I've always heard of that, so I just assume that's it would be both. People are seeing things, they feel, they feel things, they see things. So it's not just auditory. They feel like they're being spiders under their skin and things like that. The creepy crawly stuff is one that comes through a lot with some and I've heard of people seeing things or hallucinating so I would assume so but the brain is a powerful thing, man. The you have a delicate balance of all the insert all the, serotonins and this tonins and that's and this and the other. And one little thing out of whack and all of a sudden you're surfing through the cosmos on a cat, with your best friend Beelzebub. So, and that's a crazy thing that most of the time we have that in order. And then sometimes, we have tulpas. So who knows?
That's what you get from a vat of slop water and electricity.
which is cool because I used to play bass for Slopwater in college. So
nice.
Bring back memories.
Heard you guys open for Tub Ring one time. There is a band called Tub Ring, I think. Actually. Nice. I have seen them live.
That's awesome. I once saw a band called Human Beans, B-E-A-N-S. So that's fun. The last one on the list here, which we've kind of talked about a little bit. They're ghosts, demons, insert, you know. Wait a minute.
Are they ghosts or are they demons?
They're paranormal and they're latching on to this. Now, the question is, are they manifested? You know, are they a ghost because you manifested it, or is it a ghost because it was a ghost and or a demon more likely, and it knew you were wanting these things, so it's giving you what you want so it can get what it wants?
I'll tell you what. I feel like this is the worst explanation because I think it brings up more questions than it answers.
Right, right. Because it's just a catch-all. It's just links ghosts.
It to another right. different thing that you can get in the weeds about.
And that'll right. lead to another clue. To explain that and that'll too. Lead to another clue. Yeah, you know, next thing you know, you're hanging out with Nicolas Cage.
Friend, and they tell one friend.
Yep. I don't know. It does seem lazy. Is that the right way to say it? You know,
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Let's go to break again one more time. When we come back, let's talk tulpas and pop culture. And if my favorite comic book character could be a tulpamancer. Uh-oh. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51. Paging Dr. Zeitgeist. Dr. Zeitgeist.
Yeah, Dr. Zeitgeist. Yeah.
Shocker. Tulpas have made their way into pop culture.
Tulp culture, baby.
I know I've been relying on you a lot this episode, but if you will, so that I don't have to talk as much. We're talking movies, television shows, books, and video games. What are some of the examples that people might have been exposed to or familiar with?
Sure. I mean, there's a bunch in old pop culture. Twin Peaks is one of them.
Never heard of
series.
It.
In this masterpiece created by David Lynch and Mark Frost, tulpas play a significant role in the overarching plot. Characters such as Dougie Jones are presented as tulpas, and the concept is used to explore themes of identity, duality, and the nature of reality.
Did you guys watch Twin Peaks at all?
I started it. I don't think I ever finished it.
I don't think I have ever seen a full episode.
Really? So I watched it when I was young and it came out the first time. And then I started to watch it again a couple years ago. And I kind of just got, I think I like it a lot, but my memory was better than it was to me. You know what I'm trying to say? But it was a lot of fun and it's very interesting. And it did flirt around with a lot of these weird ideas and things like that. Plus, I love that when they were trying to show the killer from the camera's point of view as a killer, and the guy running the camera, they didn't realize until they released the episode that his reflection was off in a mirror, and people caught that. So then they just made that dude the killer, the camera operator. Like, what a crazy. Anyway, yeah. So
I think Twin Peaks started some of that weirdness, and X-Files kind of. Mm-hmm. Gained some of that momentum
mm-hmm.
when it started, you know, and then now here we are.
But, right, right.
Twin Peaks was in, I think it started in 1990, X-Files 93, and then you had, you know, all those other shows in the 90s that were just gold. But anyways, speaking of that, X-Files 1993, the season 3 episode of X-Files titled Arcadia features a tulpa-like creature mm-hmm. called the Ubermensher. It's a living thought form created by the collective will of a neighborhood to maintain order and conformity.
It's a fucking HOA monster. You back payment. This needs your shrubs need trimmed, you know, stab.
Take those flamingos out of your yard.
These shadows are not a baby blue, their North Carolina blue.
You know? They're speckled at Robin's egg.
It's just this. Also, this is an interesting thing because it's not just one person, but it's an entire will of a community. Yeah. This feels like, you know, almost like, now this is a thing, but almost like, you know, they say like poltergeists are like these teenage girls going through puberty and stuff that cause these things. This is like the entire will of a community almost like, you know, breathed it into to reality. I think when you said it like Tulpa-like, but I don't know that it's exactly a Tulpa in my mind. I don't know.
Uh-huh. This is more... This is a step up from one person manifesting something to me.
Right.
Because if you have a bunch of this... everybody focuses in, and you hear some of these stories of Tulpas are about communities or several groups, you know, of people who come together to make something manifest through their thoughts. If they're all thinking about the exact same thing and thinking intensely and all this stuff, you know, it's kind of like Captain Planeting something into existence.
He's our hero. Going to take pollution down to zero. Or else. Yeah.
Mostly I'm impressed they could get everybody to agree on something.
No shit.
Yeah.
Man.
That seems like that would be the hardest part of it all.
Ubermensch, it sounds like it was like a German community. So I don't know. No, that's wrong. That's
they're all nihilists.
They don't believe in anything.
The students of Nietzsche, they all have giant mustaches, and that helps amplify the thoughts, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's still in chakra there.
Yeah, the Ubermensch just goes around saying, Noam Chomsky's a known Chomsky and killing people, and yeah, just taking his will out on everyone. All right, what's next, sir?
Did you have that just queued up, ready
to
go?
It's literally from a G.I. Joe cartoon from years ago.
What?
You know when they redid the endings?
Or no.
You remember they redid the
okay, yeah.
And he's like, he's like, Noam Chomsky is a known Chomsky. And for whatever reason, about seven times a day, I say that to myself just randomly. It's one of those things that just burrowed in my ears.
They created a Tulpa in your mind.
They there, sure did. Like. And it's a form of roadblock, the dude who always spoken in rhymes.
Yeah. The Sphinx.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, okay. There's also Supernatural, the TV series. Season 1, episode Hell House features a Tulpa created by the collective belief of internet users.
Boom.
Who unwittingly bring a fictional ghost to life. Oh, no, they're just confusing things now. The Tulpa becomes a dangerous and powerful entity driven by the fears and expectations of the people who created it.
This one's just like, what's everything that we've talked about? That's it.
Like, yeah.
Bunch of people, the internet, a ghost. Is it a ghost? Oh, it feeds on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, and again, you got all these people. Well, yeah. Right, it is catch-all. And man, if anyone's you said it's hard to find like-minded, but a lot of times you can, especially on things like subreddit, where you drill down and drill down and drill down until you find people that are like, man, I just fucking, you know, insert whatever, and they all think the same way, you know?
Very true.
Look at Topical right now, this kid who just released all those papers. You know, he had a Discord and there's like 20 people in there and they were all racists who loved guns and hated like authority and shit, you know, and they found each other like, between 20 and 30 people. You know, they like to spread racist memes and shoot guns and go to jail, I guess. That's what they really like doing. Nice. There's always a group for you, no matter what it is.
So true.
Then we got the classic, now classic Slenderman.
Yeah.
That's the popular internet urban legend that originated on the Something Awful forums in 2009, where there's 20 to 30 people who thought alike. some have argued that the Slender Man could be considered a tulpa, brought into the existence through the collective imagination and belief of countless internet users, countless, I just said there's 20 of them, who created stories, images, and videos featuring the character.
What I find so interesting about that one, though, is it's relatively vague. Like, he doesn't have a face, tall, and wears a black suit. Like, it's that one seems easier to me to create from a lot of people because there's so much less detail.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Well, there were killings because of the Slender Man as well.
Oh, yeah.
Those girls killed. It was another girl, right?
Another, their friend, I think, or sister.
Yeah.
Or something. There's a documentary.
Or stabbings.
About it.
Yeah. I'm looking at them now. Lured their friend in a forest and stabbed her 19 times in an attempt to appease the fictional character Slender Man. Wow. That's. Once again, we're talking about mental illness and, you know, how it could affect or be into these. And I think this one kind of goes in, you know, at least that aspect of it ties in heavily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is
topic.
if there is something you could point to as this is concrete example of a tulpa, it's not the way that a tulpa is really described or is an actual tulpa, but this has been brought into existence and is now a thing because, you know, it was a creative thing that almost like someone killing in the name of Superman or something, you know, like,
yeah,
it's a character that was created. It was kind of brought to life.
Superman, or even like Freddy Krueger was created by someone, you know, the writers created that, or Wes Craven, whoever created them, created it. This was a group, you know, you can probably say the first person said something, but it was really breathed to life by an entire group of people, not just one person or a movie or a TV show, which is in its way a little bit more shocking or surprising or even, I mean, cool as long as you don't look at the horrible aspects of it.
Yeah. 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 Yep. You've got a book called The Tulpa Effect. It's a novel by Dexter Morgenstern. And it revolves around the concept of tulpas and the implications of thought forms taking on lives of their own, just like Slenderman.
I haven't read it, and I'm sure it's great, but I haven't read it, I'm sure. I'm going to go on a limb and say neither of you two, right?
No.
Right. But I like the thought of the implications of thought forms taking on lives of their own. I didn't have time. I wish I would have, though, because that's kind of what we've been talking about here. Like, what are the implications and what are the rules? The one I brought this up with David a few days ago, maybe last week or something, because it was just like a quick like thing I was thinking about creating things. I'm a big Green Lantern fan. Now, Green Lantern has a ring and they make hard light constructs by willpower or fear or whatever, you know, depending on what color it is. But is that a tulpa? You know, now let's say you make a rock and you throw it at someone or a big punching glove, but they can also make creatures and things like that. In fact, the Orange Lantern creates anyone he's killed. He creates them as a creation. Could that be like a modern look at like tulpas, or is that just oversimplified, it's way more simple than that. It's a construct and it's done. I don't know. I was just thinking and pondering that a little bit.
What happens after the creation? Then does he still control them?
Yeah, he can. They can control it. You know, or, you know, if it's a car and he creates it for someone can go and drive the car, you know, or a ship or something like that.
Do the, let's say, non-inanimate objects, you know, the one you were talking about, the orange one with the beings or the people he's, do they have a will of their own? And
I mean, they're under the control of
the
creator, meaning he can make them come and go, but he could send it off into space and it could go do its own thing.
Has any of them ever broken free? And
I want to say that I brought up the orange one because he has one that's always with him. It's almost like a pet. You know what I mean? It's always there. But no, I don't know of any that's like, there's not like a hard like construct that's holding down a 9-to-5, you know, somewhere in the gamma quadrant or something like that, you know, so I don't think so.
Yeah.
So I don't, I would say, well, and they also have to have energy. It's not the thought per se. It's thought, willpower that brings them in. I don't know. It was just an interesting kind of example of similar but different, kind of like some of the things we've already talked about, similar but different, I think. I don't know.
Tulpa like.
Yeah. Tulpa adjacent.
Adjacent, Tulpish. Yes.
These were just a few of the, I mean, there's countless examples of pop culture in pop culture that showcase the ways which Tulpas have been there to explore, you know, themes, beliefs, the power of the human mind, which something we kind of touched on a lot. And the blurred lines between reality and imagination, and unfortunately, some people don't know the difference. Or sadly for feet pics for dumb robots, if that's what you're into. What are your over-under? Are these real? Have they been? Or are these just figments of people's imagination?
I think a true tulpa is its own being. So for me, the ones in the mind and stuff, those don't really count as tulpas to me. But I don't know. It's interesting to think of things, Bigfoots and stuff that we have a hard time proving are out there, whether or not, you know, whatever your feelings are on that. But that it's an interesting thought to me that maybe that's kind of been conjured up and is now its own thing. But it's an interesting historical precedent for some of these things, for sure. So I don't know. I think to be a true tulpa, though, it's got to be something physical in
right.
my head.
Yeah. An interesting thing you just said there is, speaking of the Bigfoot idea, so many people go out in the woods, they never see anything. So many people go out looking for Bigfoot and find Bigfoot in one way or another. Are they manifesting that themselves, even though they don't realize
it?
Is that some subconscious thing, which would still be a tulpa, I believe. But maybe it's not as in control because they didn't do the meditations and the ohms and the ahs and things. I don't know. That's an interesting, you know, people say, you know, you manifest your own destiny. Maybe this is a part of that, you know, did I cause this to be, insert whatever that happens to be. Yeah. And sometimes it's Bigfoot.
Speaks to the power of thought for sure.
Right. It sure does. David, what's your over under?
I'm still unclear myself personally. I'm not saying this is part of the, any fault of the concept, but I'm still unclear as to whether or not tulpas can be or become physical, because it sounds like they're pretty ethereal in nature, and therefore I have a hard time linking it with something like Bigfoot, where we do find tracks or hair samples or whatever that they say they find. That's the only thing for me, is that I don't know if they're ethereal or physical. And so just because they're ethereal doesn't mean they're ghosts, though. I think that's a separate concept as well. So I have a hard time thinking these are anything other than people who just want attention, or either hallucinations or something that someone thinks they might have saw.
Like misrepresenting something. You know, I saw a bear. Sure. I thought it was Bigfoot.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be maliciously done, right? Or, you know.
The mind is a crazy thing. Literally, you know, it's interesting how it works, and we tend to fill in the blanks of the things that we don't understand. Well, what I mean by that is, even when, like, you look to your side, like, did I just see a gorilla? Like, no, it's a black sign. You know, like, yeah. I know that sounds silly, but that's something you do. And that's what your mind does. Well, then people go, I know what I saw. Fuck, I don't know what I saw. And I'm looking at a screen right now. This might not even be here. I don't know.
You know? Well, a lot of people know what they think they saw.
Right, exactly. And I think that's an important distinction. And it's also fighting words for a lot of people.
Oh, you know? It sure is.
I don't know. More importantly, we got to get to the expert's opinion. What do you guys think? Well, you can let us know for a few ways. You can send us smoke signals. We're still looking for those. I'm outside every day from 3 to 4 p.m., so keep that in mind. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod. facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's our regular page. Or just go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. Also, give us a voicemail. We just did a voicemail episode, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. Or hop on hysteria51.com and you can click the microphone on there. Leave us a message, and you can also find links to everything else, including, of course, this episode because of the amazing Lauren. Thank you so much for, number one, participating in the contest, winning the contest, and then being an awesome guest. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
Well, it's time to update your resume is what we're saying, because this is big. This is very important for you. So, you know.
I think that's going to go top of the line there.
Headliner of the resume.
Do I put it before, put that on our own resumes, or after my degrees? I don't know. So yeah, thank you so much. Was it everything you hoped for and more? Or and you better say yes. You wow. say yes. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry.
He's a glutton for punishment here.
I was like, do I answer this one? No, it was excellent. This was so fun. Thank you guys so much.
No, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for coming in and having an awesome topic for us to talk about. And these ones frustrate me because I'm like, now I don't even know. I know less than I felt like I knew when it coming in. You know what I mean?
I know.
But that's a fun thing.
The age old, it depends answer.
Yeah. Ask your mother. that's right. Well, again, Lauren, thank you so much. And everyone, with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
I've been Lauren.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.